We have been preaching about miracles and encounter with God for the last 5 weeks now. We've been taught about miracles, and this coming Sunday on the 22nd, we are going to have our Encounter Sunday. Amen. All the faith in the room, let's bring it then. We want to pray, we want to believe that miracles are going to happen and everyone is going to experience a miracle. Amen? On the 22nd of this month, we are going to have an Encounter Sunday, praising God, praying, and for that to be successful, let us all pray. This whole week that is coming, let us pray for a miraculous Sunday to come. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Because we've been taught that our miracles, whatever we are praying for, is just there with us. So that Sunday, we want to go before God so that God can make what is ordinary to become extraordinary. Yes. Amen? The loaves and the fish that were multiplied. Maybe you have a loaf or a fish in your heart that it needs to be multiplied so that everyone else can explore and experience God's love. Sunday 22nd, that is the day that God has made. Amen? Are we ready? Yeah, because that was just the church news for this Sunday. Today, we are going to learn about or to explore about something else. How God can use ourselves as individuals. How God can use you to multiply. Amen? How God can use you to multiply His ministry. How God can use you to multiply His church. Because we've been learning and been taught about so many other things for the past 5 weeks. Today we want to bring it to you as an individual. We'll be looking at stories in the Bible that God used individuals so that at least we fit into those pictures, into those worlds, because the things that we read in the Bible is not that they're just stories. The experiences that God moved through people. Amen. Some of us, we've experienced God's love in our lives. We've experienced miracles in our lives. And if you feel that you've never experienced God's miracle, just look at yourself and you are a miracle. There are so many people who wish they could have been healthy as how you are or sat where you are, but they are not. So your life also is a miracle. Amen? When Jesus went to heaven, the apostles met in a room. As they were praying and the Holy Spirit came down, people who were around there, they came to listen. And they were just talking outside, not understanding or not knowing what was going on. But when they came closer, and Peter came out and started preaching, 5,000, 3,000 later, 5,000 later, 2,000, and the church started growing, okay? There was multiplication. So when a multiplication happens in a chance or in a time like that, even though it is in a group of people, it's 5,000 people. Just imagine 5,000 people, there's how many times? Us times how many? We are around 100. So 100, what can you multiply with 100 to make 5,000? 50 of you, just imagine being there. But when this multiplication happens, it only happens with one faithful person. Amen? With one bold choice. One surrendered life. Amen? Even though there were 5,000 people who got saved that day, there was one surrendered soul who said, I want to give my whole life to Christ. Wherever you are saved, even if you are saved in a group or in a church event, it was you as an individual who accepted Christ. Those 5,000 people who got saved that day, it is not 5,000 people who got saved. It was one individual who accepted the ministry, who accepted Jesus, and they got saved. Another person who was there as an individual, they also got saved, and that's what brought the number to 5,000. Even if you're reading it's 5,000 people who got saved, it's one special person. Here we are in a church of 100 or 200 or 500 people. It is you as an individual. Amen? When we'll be going before Christ, it will be you facing Jesus in that day. I won't be there with my mom, with my dad, my wife, my kids. No, it will be me as an individual. Even though I love my brothers, my sisters so much, there's nothing that I can do, or there's nothing that they can do for me. Amen? So today we are going to look at, if time allows, five stories. Okay? Where faith, where multiplication happened because of an individual or a group of individuals that brought multiplication. Amen? Let's go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. We've heard these stories long ago. Mark 2, verse 3 onwards. It says, they came to him. It was a group of people, okay? They came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Okay? So we'll just do up to that. 3 to 5, because we'll be going up to 12. But in this story, we're talking about four men who carried a friend or another person. All right? They carried a person. This is when Jesus went and he was preaching, and everywhere around, everyone around the town came in. But now when these people, they heard that Jesus was there, they went to see Jesus. And because they knew that Jesus works miracle, they carried someone who was paralyzed. He was just there, bedridden. And they thought, why? How can we go and leave our friend? How can we go and leave this person that we know is paralyzed? Why can't we take him to Jesus? They had their own problems that they could have taken to Jesus, but they saw their friend as the most important person to take to Jesus. Amen? So when these people carried their friend, they came and then they found that where Jesus was, the house was packed around. The house was also packed. Hundreds of people were there listening to what Jesus was saying. But when they came, they were like, we're not stopping here. We are going to get our friend to Jesus. Amen? They did not just sit there to wait for people to leave, and then, all right, I know the church ends at around midday, so I'll wait for the pastor to finish at midday before I go there to him. No. They did not wait for that. They cleared a path. They just looked and thought, all right, if we go up, we will go and find Jesus there. So they went and dug through the ceiling. I don't know who was charged with that bill after that. Yeah? Just imagine in your house, they come and dig up your ceiling. Will you welcome Jesus there next day? What if they come through the back door? All right? But they did not think of that. They just saw a friend in need, and they saw a solution. They saw Jesus there as a solution. And they thought, we'll go to where this solution is. Amen. And then what happened? Jesus saw their faith after this man is coming down. You know, sometimes we just read and we pass through. Just imagine you're there, sat down with Jesus, and then you start feeling something is coming down. The roof. Someone is there. Maybe Phil, I'd asked Phil for maybe something to dig. Yeah? And he gave me, and then I'm coming through here. So what happened to the people around there? Did they just sit and waiting? All right, maybe it's a miracle happening. No, they started moving, and then that created room. So these friends created room for their paralytic friend. And they brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he was moved by their faith. So Jesus saw the faith of these four men, and Jesus also saw the faith of these other people around. Because if you read that whole story, you'll hear that, oh, people were starting mourning. Oh, who is this person who can forgive sin? That is blasphemy. So Jesus saw faith of these four men, a stronger faith against these people who were around there, who were just occupying the room, filling all the seats. And yet the people who needed true miracle were outside. Jesus saw all those two kinds of faith. And after seeing the faith, he just looked at this man and said, your sins are forgiven. You get up and go. Pick your mat and leave. Amen? So sometimes we as people, or as Christians, or as friends, we need to be people who carries others to God. Amen? You need to be conduits. You need to be helpers who try and help people to go to God. You have friends at home. You have families at home that they need Jesus. You need to be that person who carries these people to God. Amen? Because our faith, when we have action faith, you just don't sit there. You just don't sit there thinking like maybe Jesus will walk past our town sometimes, or Jesus is still there until tomorrow. No, you work today. We know we want to carry our friend to Jesus. We have so many people who took their friends to Jesus, even though their friends were not these cool friends, as we can say. Amen? Job had friends, and the only thing that they were doing there was just to mock him, to tell him all the ills that he has done. But for them, for his healing to come, himself, for him to be healed, he had to pray forgiveness for these friends of his, and he was healed. That's what Job, the book of Job says. Job's healing was there. He was going through up and down in life. He lost everything, but his healing was just around his friends. Him just praying for his friends, asking God for forgiveness for his friends, that's what restored him. Do we have friends that we think are keys to our salvation? Maybe you're there. Think about a friend that you think, if I pray for this person, maybe my salvation is coming from this person. God, open my eyes that I see who I can pray for. All right? Let's carry one another to Christ. Because with that one, your faith through or for other people, it glorifies God. If you look at Mark 2, verse 12, that's the last one that we'll talk about, verse 12. Amen. Verse 12, he says, immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God. All were amazed. Those who had little faith and those who had mountain-sized faith. They all were amazed because they saw that this man had been restored. And they were saying, we've never seen anything like this. So you praying for your friends, you carrying people to Jesus, you taking that step will be a step to glorify God. You'll be multiplying God's ministry just by praying for someone. You are there in the office, you see that this is the worst colleague that I can ever have. Yeah? Have you ever felt like that? Yeah. You just, on a Monday morning, you go there and think, all right, is it Friday yet? Thinking I'm going to stay there with this person for a whole week. Pray for them. Amen? Yeah. Pray for them. Or in your office, on Monday morning, everyone is just thinking, oh, is it Friday? Maybe you are that friend. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe you are that friend whom people need to pray for. Pray for yourself as well. Amen? So that we can glorify God with whatever we do, we need to be friends who are prayerful, friends who think of others. We were given here to write friends that we want to pray for and see God working through them. How many people are still having that list? How many people are still praying for their friends? How many of us want that list again? Maybe you are here and you want that list, please lie us with the church or via Claire. She might give you a list so that we put down our friends whom we want to take to God. Amen. And that is it as individuals. Sometimes we are in positions. God has created every person to be in a position. No matter where you are, you might be a king, you might be the lowly servant. Wherever position that God has given you, that is the position that you can use and pray for someone else. Use that position that you are. Don't look at yourself and think, I'm only the last in the chain, that you feel like there's nothing that can come out of you. No. Don't think that because I'm the head, now I know everything. Wherever you are, in whatever position that you are holding, that position comes from God. Use that position to glorify God in our lives. Amen? We have two stories. A story of someone called Esther. Esther was a queen. And that time, there were plots to kill everyone, to annihilate everyone. But Esther used her position. She took a risk and stood there for the whole community. Amen? Her step, she said, if I will die, let me die. But I'm going to see the king. And through her bold step, everyone was saved. Amen? God did not give you that position by accident. No. Amen? God places us in specific positions so that we can be instruments of deliverance and for God's purpose. You are there. Maybe you don't know how to play a keyboard. But at least when you stay there, you make that, you know, my fingers are so rigid. I tried one time someone gifted my son a guitar. I tried playing it there with him, a guitar. It just broke my heart. I put it in the... Amen? Only for me to realize that my brother came thinking that he knows how to play and then he broke all the strings. I didn't know. Amen? I forgive him for that. Amen? So, no matter how small your influence you might think is, save it. There was someone, Naaman, who was a very great soldier. But he had leprosy. He was only saved by a servant girl who told him about a man of God. A servant saved this mighty man of war. So no matter where you are, you being Queen Esther, whatever your position is, or you just being a mere servant, use your position well and God will be glorified. Amen. So even where we work, whatever we do, maybe you look at yourself and think that I've done more wrong than good in my position. I've taken advantage of my situation, there's only one step that you can make. Go before God. All right? Run to Jesus. Run somewhere where you can see Jesus. Go up high where you can see Jesus, and Jesus will come to you. Like a man called Zacchaeus. He knew that he was a tax collector, the chief tax collector. You know, there's one time I was looking for jobs online, and then I saw they're taking warrants and bond collectors. Has anyone here been visited by a bond collector or a debt collector? Do you see how gigantic they are? So, for you to be a tax collector by that time, you had to be someone who is, we were taught here at that time, someone who was really mean. Yeah? But Zacchaeus, the Bible says that he was a short man, short in stature, you can say someone short. But for him to be considered until he went to the ranks of being a chief tax collector, you know, sometimes they say that short people try to use their voices to compensate their height. I don't say so. I didn't say that. But I think that's what Zacchaeus might have done. Yeah? He was short, but speaking, you could just fear him. But what did he do? He just knew that Jesus was passing by. Jesus was not going to him. Jesus was passing by. What did he do? He placed himself in a position that he could see Jesus. We might be doing things that we think, I'm not a Christian through what I'm doing. Even though I go to church every day, but I'm not a Christian. Maybe we are in those kinds of situations or life. We just need to place ourselves where Jesus will see us. And what did Zacchaeus do? He gave out. He multiplied whatever he had taken for people. If he had, he told Jesus that if I've taken anything wrongfully, I'm giving it back 4 times. Amen. Whatever he was doing, whatever he was talking, it was there in the Bible. Even though he was a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector, he knew what the Bible or what their scriptures had said. Because in Exodus, when, and even Leviticus, when they were giving out laws, they were saying that if someone takes someone else's property, they're supposed to pay 4 times. He knew about that. That's why he went to Jesus and said, if I've taken something unlawfully, I'm giving it back 4 times. He responded to Jesus' call immediately. When Jesus said, hey, come down, he came down, he prepared a meal. He was happy. He had his saving, and he was a very rich man by then. His transformation amazed the whole crowd. Everyone who was following Jesus, just imagine you are there, someone, a tax collector had taken, sometimes I look at my pay slip and I see, my deductions are more than my pay. Sometimes we feel that, yeah? Just imagine one time these people who take our deductions say that I'll give you 4 times. How rich will we be? I think I'll be very rich, yeah? If the taxman just decides to say, I'll give you 4 times what I've taken, I'll be there just with a calculator. Like, and I've only worked for a few years. What about those who have worked for more than me? If that happens, that's what Jesus will do. He'll give us whatever we are suffering now. He'll give us rest. Amen? Let's look up to that. So your changed life is a testimony. Some people look at you and think, can Isaac be a saved person? Because of what they knew you before. They knew you as a tax collector before, but now you are a changed person. You're coming and saying, I'll give it back to you. Maybe people still don't believe that you are a true Christian because of what they used to see you do before or what they think that they know about you. When you give your life to God, you surrender everything. And whatever people are saying, that's not you. In my life, I've I've loved one part of the Bible. Because sometimes my friends used to say, hey, you also go to church? Are you really a Christian? I used to know you when you were in high school. These are people, you know, that knew me when I was still, like Jesus before, when he was crucified. They saw him in the hanging on the tree, up on the cross. So they were thinking, all right, this is the same person that we used to. They came up trying to apply this oil to Jesus. But what did they find? An empty tomb. And they were asked, why are you looking for a living person in a dead man's place? Amen? Those people are looking at an empty tomb because you are resurrected. You are resurrected. You are living a new life. You are a new person. So today, Jesus gave you life. Amen? Those people who knew you as a tax collector, tell them you are now a new person. Invite them to church. Let them come and see how God can change. Amen? When others see your change, they'll want to know the God who changed you. Whatever we do, let us just be humble. Amen? I want us to look at the book of Luke 7, verse 1 to 10. We'll not be reading the whole because of our time. I just want us to be ready for what is coming next. Amen? So I won't take more than my time. This story is about the centurion who had a servant. Okay? Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. Amen? Sometimes we are sick and we are ready to die. Our Christian life, sometimes we get somewhere that we feel like, I can't take it anymore. You want to go back to the life that you used to live. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent the elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. So this is a centurion servant. A centurion was one of the big commanders. And this time, the Israelites by that time were being conquered by the Romans. So this was one of the generals who was in charge of that town. But what did he do? He had a servant. Even though he had everything that he wanted. He was the top ranked general in that time. He had a servant. And he liked, and he had this servant as one of his. So when they were ill, he did not just think that this is just a mere servant. He felt sorry for the servant. And he called people to go to Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. Amen? These are the elders who are coming to Jesus and asking Jesus, can you come and help this Roman who is here and his servant is nearly dying. Just come. But for them to change Jesus' mind, they are telling Jesus that this person is deserving. Why was he deserving? Because he loves our nation and he has built us a synagogue. So this was a Roman, even though he was a Roman soldier, a general in the Roman army, he loved the people. He was not misusing his power. He was not misusing his position. He loved where he was working. And he had already built them a synagogue. So when these people came to Jesus, they told Jesus that this person, if he's requesting you to do this, he's deserving. Let us be people who do good. Like there's another person in the book of Acts who was called Tabitha or Dorcas. When she died, they asked the apostles, please come, this person deserves to be healed, deserves to be resurrected. Let's be people who can glorify God in whatever we do. Whatever we do, let us glorify Jesus. But when you go down towards verse 10, it says that when Jesus was coming towards his house, he just sent people and said, "No, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house. Just say a word." This person believed that even Jesus' word can just save. Jesus' word, not only saving, can make us whole. Amen? He was humble. He knew what he wanted, even though he was requesting for his servant. We just started by talking about we need to pray for our friends. This person was praying for a servant. He was willing to send people to go to speak to Jesus just for his servant. Amen? We need to be those kind of people that we go before God, humble, and believe that Jesus, through his word, we can be set free. God responds to the humble and your faith. Whatever you do in faith, Jesus will answer. He said, "Ask anything and it shall be given." Anything. Don't limit what you ask God for. Don't limit. Don't think that because I can't ask for this because I've never been given this. No, don't go that way. Just ask for anything and it shall be given unto you. Your faith could be the door that opens salvation for your family, friends, or community. Just take people to God and God will save them. Amen. Even when you are faced with hurdles in life, when you are faced with everything in our life is just crumbling down, you are being pushed to the edge by whatever surrounding is happening. Whatever is happening around you is pushing you to the edge. Let's just trust God. Amen. Today, sometimes we go through things in life and we just heartbroken. We pray for healing. You still question. You still have doubts. Will I be healed? Will I be given? Let us just go wholeheartedly. Let us be like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, saying, even if our God don't save us, we are not going this. Even if I'm not healed today, I'm not losing hope. I'm not losing my faith, because it doesn't matter if he does it today or now, or even if he doesn't do it, that is not changing my life. Amen. These were three people who were being thrown into a fire, into a furnace. I don't know if today, if I'm tired, will you disown Jesus? Like Peter was there saying, "I can never do anything like that." But when reality hits, he said, "I've never seen this man." This is the same person that was with Jesus when he was transformed and transfigured. And he said there, "I saw Moses. I saw Abraham with Jesus." But a few days later, he's saying, "I've never seen this man." Sometimes we are faced with those kind of scenarios in our lives. That you get somewhere that you feel, even you don't remember that you are a Christian. Amen? Sometimes, I've spoken about this, if there was a meter to check your Christianity, how Christian are you? For drivers, that will be when someone cuts you bad. Yeah? You're going, the road is coming to merge, and you're on that right-hand side or left-hand side, and you're seeing and looking at your mirror, and like, "Oh, let's race." But this person keeps on going. How do we take that? You are nearly being pushed out of the road. How do you take that? Are you the kind of people who start swearing and throwing your hands up, or are you the person who will just break down, say, all right, you continue, God bless you. I'll follow you. Amen. I'll want to pray for you. There's a time that my car was broken too. I felt very bad, but I was like, oh, maybe Jesus, even I told my friends here, maybe God wanted me to pray for these people who were going breaking out people's car. And I prayed for them. One time I believe they'll be saved and at least a safe community will have. Amen. Continue praying that with me. When you stand with God or for God in hard times, others will be drawn to him. When you look at this story about this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they believe that God is going to deliver them. And what happened is that it was this king who threw them into this furnace, hot furnace. He's the same person who said, I'm setting out a decree that whoever does not believe in this God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they'll be put to death. Sometimes in your hard situation, just remember to keep calm and keep God in that. Amen? And God himself will be multiplied in our lives. So as individuals, what are we, or what can we do as individuals? As myself, what can I do to multiply God's kingdom? Maybe invite someone to church. Have that one person that you want to invite them to church. Annoy them until they come. Okay? Every single Sunday, tell them, oh my, remember tomorrow is a Sunday. Invite them until they come. Okay? Invite someone to church. Be someone who carries others to Jesus. Amen? Be that person that I know I have a friend who will be praying for me through ups and downs. Or be that person who people know that my friend will pray for me. You are there, someone will just call you and tell you, please pray for me, I'm going through this. Because they believe that your God will work miracles for them. Amen? Even when it's risky, just speak the truth. Speak the truth. Stand firm and be there for God. Amen? So you are here today and you want God to work through you. Maybe it's your first time that you have been to church, or you've just been coming to church as a tradition. You've been going to God to church, but you've never literally given your life to Jesus. Today is a time that we need to give our lives to Jesus. Because even Jesus himself, he said, we don't know the time or the moment that Jesus will come. So when that time comes, how will we be? Let us give ourselves to God. Be ready that Jesus will work for us. Amen? So, we have here a salvation. We can pray for salvation. If you want to give your life to Jesus, or everyone, I just want us to repeat this prayer. If it's the first time, you'll just raise your hand later. But if not, just pray, because we need God's guidance every single time. Amen. Father God, I believe that you are our Savior. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Forgive me. Change me. And use me, God. I want to be part of what you're building. Use my life to multiply your church. And let me be a seed that grows. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If that was your first time and you want to give your life to God, I'll just ask you to lift up your hand so that we can pray for you, and we can give you also a Bible and some scriptures, and also walk with you. Amen. So if that was you praying that for the first time, I'll ask you to lift up your hand and we'll pray with you. Amen. Thank you for those. Thank you. Amen. Father God, I thank you for showing us that you use ordinary people for extraordinary impact. May we be full of faith like the four friends, bold like Esther, surrendered like Zacchaeus, believing in you like the centurion. And let us have unshakable faith like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Use our lives to multiply your church. And let us be truthful friends to one another. We pray for everyone who is ill and everyone who needs you in their lives. Bless our week. Bless our families. And bless everything that we do. In Jesus' name I believe and pray. Amen. Have a good time and see you in a minute. All right? I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. I hope you are, so let us prepare for that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.